as far as my friends and people really knowing this information, very few of them do.
Julia Henson lives in Mobile. Her little secret is her family tree and the critical role it played in the history of the city and of the Battle of Mobile Bay in 1864.
Buchanan, of course, went to sea when he was like 15 years old.
There's a hint of pride as Henson talks about Franklin Buchanan. The Confederate admiral is Henson's great-great-grandfather.
Ended up being the first superintendent of the Naval Academy. He went to Japan with Perry when he opened Japan. And then he was head of the Washington Naval Yard at the time of the Civil War breaking out.
Henson's memories of Buchanan come from stories told by her parents and from the writings of Buchanan's daughter. She was Henson's great-grandmother. Her manuscript is sitting on Henson's lap. She reads how famous Buchanan was among the residents of Mobile, especially when he went to the theater.
Buchanan was given a private box for the season, draped with the admiral's flag. Every evening when we were not previously engaged, we went to the theater. Whenever my father entered his box, the audience applauded until he stood and bowed, and the band would play Dixie.
Of course, this was before the Battle of Mobile Bay. Things changed afterward because Admiral Buchanan was the man who lost. The sounds of cannons and muskets near the mouth of Mobile Bay are just ceremonial. It's all part of the show modern-day reenactors do for visitors at Fort Gaines. The scene was a lot different, though, in 1864, when Confederate and Union forces fought over Mobile Bay. Naval forces from the north were led by Admiral David Farragut, while the Confederate ships were commanded by Buchanan.
Let's start at 1862. Farragut goes in and takes New Orleans. Mobile panics. Refugees leave New Orleans, come to Mobile.
David Smithwick is a local historian in Mobile.
Farragut's intention is to come to Mobile right away. But General Banks orders him to the Mississippi Red River campaign.
General Nathaniel Banks commanded the Army of the Gulf for the Union. He was Farragut's boss at the time. This delay and panic gave the defenders of Mobile time to plant underwater mines throughout the bay. Back then, these weapons were called torpedoes. The extra time also allowed the Confederates to build up the defenses at the two forts guarding the mouth of the bay. A modern-day blacksmith demonstrates his craft for visitors at Fort Gaines. It was the smaller of the two forts at the entrance to Mobile Bay. On the other side was Fort Morgan.
Fort Morgan was the major post because the main ship channel running into Mobile Bay ran directly under the guns of Fort Morgan.
Mike Bailey is the site director of the fort.
It was turned over to the Confederacy in March 1861 from the state of Alabama. And served as a fort to guard the entrance to Mobile Bay for blockade runners who were trying to bring necessary supplies into Mobile.
Bailey says the forts were just the first obstacle Farragut and Union forces encountered.
Confederates, to bolster their defenses, planted torpedoes and obstructions and built up a four-ship Confederate naval force, which was centered around the CSS Tennessee, which was one of the most powerful ironclads the Confederate Navy ever constructed.
These torpedoes inspired the now infamous line delivered by Admiral Farragut, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." However, there's a problem with that line.
It's not David Farragut that said, "Damn the torpedoes," but Tunis Craven, who is the commanding officer of the Tecumseh.
Bailey says Craven disobeyed orders to go into the field.
The pilot, John Collins, who is relating the story in this newspaper article, says that he tells Craven, "You're going into the torpedo field." And Craven says, "Damn the torpedoes. I want that fellow. Take me alongside." And he's talking about the Tennessee.
Craven's ship soon struck a mine, ripping a hole in the ironclad. It sank in just 3 minutes, taking Craven and 93 members of the crew to the bottom of the bay. A buoy near Fort Morgan marks the final resting place of the Tecumseh and the men who went down with the ship.
After being wounded during the Battle of Mobile Bay, he was taken prisoner and eventually shipped to New York.
Julia Henson prefers the good stories about her famous ancestor. In this account from her great-grandmother, Henson says Buchanan's fame in Mobile held up even after his defeat.
"After the war, when my poor father was left without his profession and penniless, his kind friends there gave him a position in the Mutual Insurance Company, which he accepted until he was offered the position of president of the Agricultural College in Blandenburg, Maryland."
The battle for Mobile Bay was a turning point in the war. The Confederacy was effectively cut off from outside supplies, and the Union received the morale boost it needed. It's considered by some to be the first modern naval battle. and it attracted a lot of attention from the newspapers of the day. Pat Duggins has that story tomorrow on Alabama Public Radio. I'm Stan Ingold, APR News at Fort Morgan.